Just want to look at a couple more points from St. Faustina. One is on the sheet that I gave you last night, I think. In any event, we had a beautiful time in prayer last night in front of the Blessed Sacrament. I hope you did. Some of you did, I know. And the Lord is doing different things there. And hopefully you've had some beautiful prayer and time on this retreat. We're starting to look forward now to later in the day and tomorrow. And St. Faustina encourages us about continuing to adore Jesus in the tabernacle. So none of you have the blessing of being consecrated religious like I am, so none of you live with Jesus in the same house like I do. Most of you are separated from churches. All of you, I suppose, are separated from churches. And I'm sad to say, because maybe it's because we're not praying enough. Too many churches are locked too much of the time. Pope Francis has lamented this on several occasions. And I kind of wonder if he hasn't made statements that are almost like obedience. Unlock your churches. Anyway, he hasn't said it quite like a command issued motu proprio, but he certainly has lamented locked churches. But St. Faustina gives us hope. She says, paragraph 80 in the diary, I have some additional quotes that I didn't copy for you, so I'll just number them, and if you have access to the diary elsewhere, you can always look them up later. O Jesus, divine prisoner of love, when I consider your love and how you emptied yourself for me, my senses fail me. You hide your inconceivable majesty and lower yourself to miserable me. Remember that misery and mercy, we get that again, miserable me. You empty yourself, it's mercy, to come close to miserable me. O King of glory, though you hide your beauty, yet the eye of my soul rends the veil. I see the angelic choirs giving you honor without cease, and all the heavenly powers praising you without ceasing. And without ceasing they are saying, holy, holy, holy. So again, she's giving us some images that we can work with. Here's a little helpful key for you in terms of using your imagination in prayer. You will never imagine Jesus to be more beautiful than he actually is. So go crazy. You won't overdo it. You can't. You simply cannot imagine him being more beautiful than he really is. And likewise, you simply cannot imagine him being more merciful than he really is. Imagine away. And so, likewise, you can't imagine him saying things more loving to you than he actually is. I find that so often we hold ourselves back by being afraid, well, maybe I'm overdoing it. I'm imagining that he would say to me, I love you always and I'll never leave you. But maybe he's not really saying that to me. Maybe that's just my imagination. Well, no, he's saying more loving things to you than that. You're just scratching the surface. So go crazy. Really, what holds us back is our own resistance to love, our own fear of being loved, our own self-doubt. We hold back what he says to us. He doesn't hold back. We can't overdo it. So when we imagine, whether it's at Mass or whether it's in our private prayer, we can't overdo it. Imagine away. Never be afraid I'm giving him too much credit. Never be afraid that I'm imagining, you know, well, maybe it applies to somebody else, but it doesn't apply to me. No. It applies to each one of us. We are all infinitely precious to him. So she goes on to say, who will comprehend your love and your unfathomable mercy toward us? See, that's the thing. If we can fathom it, he has more than that. His mercy is unfathomable, which means that it goes all the way to the end of what we can fathom, what we can imagine, and more. Unfathomable mercy toward us. O prisoner of love, I lock up my poor heart in this tabernacle, that it may adore you without ceasing, night and day. I know of no obstacle in this adoration. And even though I be physically distant, my heart is always with you. Nothing can put a stop to my love for you. No obstacles exist for me. Oh my Jesus, I will console you for all the ingratitude, the blasphemies, the coldness, the hatred of the wicked, the sacrileges. Oh Jesus, I want to burn as a pure offering and to be consumed before the throne of your hiddenness. I plead with you unceasingly for poor dying sinners. So she gives us this little image. Let's place our hearts in the tabernacle and lock them up there with him. What a beautiful image for us. Or we can imagine ourselves very small, climbing into the tabernacle and just being there with the ciborium, cuddling with it, pressing our face close to the Blessed Sacrament, being close to him. We can stay there all day. There's no obstacle. Nobody who yells at us, nobody who interferes with our plans, nothing, neither rain nor shine nor anything else can forcibly keep us away from that. We can keep ourselves in the tabernacle, no locked doors in churches. Nothing can keep us from placing our heart in the tabernacle with Jesus. So it's wonderful when we have the opportunity like last night with exposition and the liturgy of adoration. It's wonderful when we can come into churches and we can see the tabernacle and we can know that Jesus is there. But let's not hold ourselves back from loving him just as intimately and tenderly when we can't be physically there, but we can place our hearts also in the tabernacle to love him in an ongoing way. St. Faustina gives us that encouragement. In another paragraph, St. Faustina reverses the tables a little bit. It's helpful for us to think about not only how we can love Jesus, but also about how he loves us. She says in paragraph 1074, this is related to some things that we talked about yesterday, but I want to use her words. I was really using St. Therese images with the heart welling up with compassion. Pent up mercy, St. Therese's image. Here's what Jesus says to St. Faustina. My beloved daughter, write down these words, that today my heart has rested in this convent. Tell the world about my mercy and my love. He uses the image of flames instead of welling up water. With St. Faustina, Jesus used the image of flames. He says, the flames of mercy are burning me. I desire to pour them out upon human souls. Oh, what pain they cause me when those souls do not want to accept them. My daughter, do whatever is within your power to spread devotion to my mercy. I will make up for what you lack. Remember, where our strength ends, his strength begins. Tell aching mankind to snuggle close to my merciful heart, and I will fill it with peace. Tell all people, my daughter, that I am love and mercy itself. When a soul approaches me with trust, I fill it with such abundance of graces that it cannot contain them within itself, but radiates them to other souls. So we hear this dynamic. First of all, it's Jesus has this fire, and he's giving us this image like he wants to share that fire, not that he wants to dump burning coals on our heads. Right, but he wants to share that fire somehow. In sharing it, it can spread out, and it's a fire then that warms. But until we're willing to receive it, he's kind of holding that, and it's burning him. But when we receive his mercy, we are warmed by it, and he is able to give it, and he's not being burned by those flames, we could say. So again, like the image of pent-up mercy that it's filling up in his heart is expanding with so much mercy, and it's stretching him, and he's hurting because he wants to share that with us. This is an image of flames that he wants to share the warmth with us. It's too much for him to hold by himself. It burns him until he can share it with us. And then that dynamic continues that as we receive his mercy, we're called into the same dynamic. If we just try to hold on to it, it will burn us until we share it with others. As he says, he will fill us with such an abundance of graces that we cannot contain them within ourselves, but we radiate them out to other souls. And that's the dynamic of evangelization. In fact, as they were preparing for the synod on the new evangelization, as we began discussing this theme, the bishops, Cardinal Dolan is one that I remember very specifically, because he addressed the assembly, the National Assembly of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. And he said, the first thing we have to do in the new evangelization is be evangelized. We need to be evangelized. And he said, that's why the sacrament of the new evangelization is the sacrament of confession. We need conversion, and we need to then sacramentalize that conversion and confession. As we are receiving God's mercy through confession, receiving God's mercy by coming before Him and hearing the gospel again, being converted and transformed, then we will be filled with the overflow of love that we need to share it with the faithful, to share it with to share it with the unevangelized, to share it with the rest of the world. But by being filled up even more, we pour out. So he reminded us, and I've heard this image now so many times in the last couple of years, but St. Bernard, who was a Cistercian abbot and a doctor of the church in the 12th century, he said, an evangelizer must be not a channel that the grace passes through, but rather a cistern, a well, that the grace fills up to overflowing. So we are filled up first. We can't just be a vessel like a wire that electricity passes through, or a channel like a sewer pipe. That's an ugly image. Like a hose that water is passing through. But we need to be filled up with it to overflowing. That's the dynamic of evangelization. Now, I think what has happened, one of the reasons we've gotten into this place where we are, is that a lot of people have been filled up kind of halfway. And what I see that as is those people that go to church every Sunday, filled up halfway. I check my boxes, and I'm not really overflowing with grace. I'm not fully emptied out so that I feel kind of self-satisfied, but I'm not really filling up to overflowing. That's the Sunday Catholic that doesn't do anything else with their faith. Now, all of us are on that spectrum somewhere. None of us is perfectly filled to overflowing. All of us are in need of more grace to receive more in our hearts. But filled halfway, not good. So we need more. That's what's so beautiful, all of you coming to this retreat this weekend, that we can be filled to overflowing, that we can be filled with that fire of mercy that we simply have to give, that we receive enough that it's burning us and we have to share it with others. Jesus also, in terms of how he looks at us, again, just to reiterate what we heard, he looks at us not with an exhaustion like, oh, do I have to give that person mercy again? I mean, come on. He looks at us with, oh, thank God, they are in need of mercy, and I have mercy to share. I want to give more mercy. That's how he's looking at us. And then St. Faustina has this little encounter with him, very beautiful. She said, when I received Holy Communion, I said to him, Jesus, I thought about you so many times last night. And Jesus answered, and I thought about you before I called you into being. He one-upped her there. And she says, oh, Jesus, in what way were you thinking about me? That's a nice question. Tell me how you were thinking about me. Jesus indulges that childlike question. In terms of admitting you to my eternal happiness. Isn't that sweet? And she received it. After those words, my soul was flooded with the love of God. I could not stop marveling at how much God loves us. And that applies not just for St. Faustina, but for every one of us. Before he called us into being, when he was thinking about creating us in our mother's womb, he was already thinking about our eternal happiness. That's why he created us. He created us for eternal happiness. He didn't create us and then go, oh gosh, I got this problem to deal with now. What am I going to do with this person? He already was thinking about our eternal happiness before He created us. And He hasn't stopped thinking about our eternal happiness every moment of our existence. And therefore, He's thought about it a whole lot more than we have. And He is more urgent to get us there than we are to get ourselves there. And He wants to start now. And He's not waiting until you die to start sharing eternal happiness with you. He wants to share it even now. That's what Jesus is. That's how He's thinking about us. That's how He's looking at us. So we have to let that. We get so many, even as this question said so honestly, you know, we get these ideas maybe from spiritual authors that had some of their own issues. There are strains of different, you know, there were heresies and there are strains of these things that weren't intentional. And so the person is not a heretic, but there are problems of Jansenism and Manichaeanism and a lot of these problematic ways of looking at God and looking at ourselves and that have worked their way into in different, you know, shades and taints. And all of us, whatever, we have our own, we pick up our own things from our own times. But wherever we've picked up this idea that God wants to catch us doing wrong, that He wants to condemn us and punish us, that He's a God who is a fear-inducing, legalistic, punitive God, that he's stacking up all of our sins, you know, and He's just waiting for us in confession, like, you missed that one. No, really, He's going, you're still suffering from that one. I want you to open that up to me. I'm going to find another way. You forgot about it, but there's more grace. You have a space there in your heart that I want to fill. St. Catherine of Genoa gave that kind of image about purgatory, that purgatory is the place where all of the empty spaces in us are filled with love. You know, that's what He wants. If he's telling us that we need to confess everything, it's because it's in the process of confessing that we open our hearts to receive His grace. There's a beautiful insight we can draw from the story of the account of Jesus healing the man with the withered hand. Do you remember that? He's in the synagogue, it's on the Sabbath, and the man apparently has his withered hand tucked away. And Jesus calls him out first of all, and then He asks, you know, is it okay to heal on the Sabbath? And then He has that little interaction with His Pharisees. And then He says to that man with the withered hand, stretch out your hand. And the gospel says, as He brought out His hand, it was healed. In the very process of exposing it, it doesn't say Jesus touched it. It doesn't say He zapped it. He didn't, you know, say any particular words. In the very process of exposing it, it was healed. And it's similar to the man at the pool of Siloam or the blind beggar at the beautiful gate. Take up your mat and walk. Rise up and walk. And it's in the very process of standing up and walking that the person is healed. It's in the exposing of so many things to the Lord, in the very process of opening them up in vulnerability, these things are healed. So this is the way that God is always looking at us. He's not looking at us to catch us and to punish us and to make us suffer. He's not looking at us to fill up and make up by all of our own actions for all of the sins that we've committed. He wants us to have eternal happiness. He wants us to have the fullness of life. And that's why He wants us to open up in freedom those places in us that need healing and mercy, because He won't force it on us. Now, there are some times that we're not even aware of all of those places, and our fundamental desire to be healed is sometimes enough for Him to heal things that we're not even aware of in ways that we're not even aware of. But He won't do it against our will. And so He's always inviting us to open these things to Him. So a few words about how Jesus looks at us. I want to just finish with 2 points from St. Faustina about daily life, right? That's what we're going back to now. Would that we could be on retreat all the time. Daily life. May your daily life be a retreat all the time. Because Jesus is always with you. So that's St. Faustina gives us a little insight that way. She says, my Jesus, despite your graces, I see and feel all my misery. I begin my day with battle and end it with battle. As soon as I conquer one obstacle, 10 more appear to take its place. But I am not worried, because I know that this is the time of struggle, not peace. When the burden of the battle becomes too much for me, I throw myself like a child into the arms of the Heavenly Father and trust I will not perish. Oh my Jesus, how prone I am to evil, and this forces me to be constantly vigilant. But I do not lose heart. I trust God's grace, which abounds in the worst misery. That's paragraph 606, by the way. And the last one I was quoting from about eternal happiness was 1292, if you're following along at home. Paragraph 606. St. Faustina recognizing this is what we enter into. You know, maybe with all of this sweet talking about mercy and grace and all of that, you can start to think, well, like, my life is really messed up because I just feel like I'm struggling all day, every day. Well, so is St. Faustina and so are the rest of us. That's okay. And although she says this is a time of struggle, not peace, she means that in terms of external things. There is a way that we can cultivate a peace in our hearts, and we really hear that in the way that she responds to these struggles. She has the peace of mind to be able to throw herself like a child into the arms of the Heavenly Father. She has the peace of mind to say, I am not worried. I know that there are going to be struggles. I know that I overcome one temptation or one battle and 10 more appear. I know that's going to be the case. I'm not disturbed by these things, because really the things that disturb us are questions like, does it matter? Will it ever end? Does it make any difference in my life or anybody else's life? Is there a good plan for me? Is it going to turn out well? Is this a sign that I'm not good? Is this mean that God doesn't love me? So a lot of these questions are what cause us the deepest anguish. And that's where we can confront these questions with truths like St. Faustina gives us. God desires our eternal happiness. God is always there as a Heavenly Father, allowing us to cast ourselves into His arms like little children. God will always be there to help us. His grace will always be enough for us. He won't let us be tested beyond our abilities. In the end, it will be good. In the end, there is no more struggle, only more love. All of these truths are the ways that we can confront the kinds of lies that turn into a certain anxiety that really makes us so stressed and worried and locked up in ourselves, and then we start distancing ourselves from the help that God wants to give us. So St. Faustina helps us not to lose heart, to trust in God's grace, which abounds in the worst misery. Remember what we said yesterday? The greater the misery, the greater the mercy. And so if we can stop and say, I'm experiencing a lot of misery right now, and really the underlying question is there enough mercy to help me in this misery? And the answer is yes. See, that's where our faith can help us, just to work through that little step. I'm experiencing a lot of mercy, and then we need to out that question. There's a lie that's tugging on us. If our misery is leading to a lot of stress and anxiety and worry and being overwhelmed, then there's probably a lie in there that's tugging on it, saying, no one is enough for you. God isn't enough for you. He doesn't have enough mercy for you. You'll never get over this. And then we see, no. That's not true. Where there's more misery, where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. The greater the misery, the greater the mercy. God's mercy is enough for me. God will bring me through this. He's with me. He hasn't abandoned me. He loves me. He's working all these things to the good. So we can find some peace in some of that truth, work through some of those lies. Let me just read one more. Paragraph 62. This is a beautiful insight. Again, we're highlighting all of these kind of profound moments and talking about some of these more intense moments, casting ourselves into the arms of Jesus, cuddling up with Him in the tabernacle. But the fact is that a lot of our daily life is like, you know, driving places, checking off lists, doing mundane things. And say, St. Faustina, her life wasn't any different than that. In the diary, we get a lot of these kind of flashy moments, but we have to remember that these moments were occurring over years and years of time. This wasn't just like a day in the life, you know, every day is this kind of radical revelation. And she writes about that in paragraph 62. She says, O life, so dull and monotonous, how many treasures you contain. And there's that little insight for us. In the midst of life, dull and monotonous, there are little treasures. And sometimes we have a way of overlooking those or forgetting those. Sometimes we, maybe just driving somewhere, we have a little moment of peace and clarity. We feel Jesus close to us, maybe sitting in the passenger seat, putting a hand on us. It just passes, it lasts for 5 seconds, 15 seconds. We rest there, we soak it in, we forget about it. And then at the end of the day, we complain, my life is so boring, nothing ever happens to me. Well, there are a lot of little treasures like that are there. Or we have an experience, something as simple as finding a parking space, right? You know, something as simple as, I just had a delightful experience yesterday. You know, we had these confessions, and I make the little sign-up list, and people come in, and, you know, nobody really holds to their time. And I've learned over a lot of retreats not to get anxious about that and just to trust. Well, the last person was there. We finished confession. I stood up. I looked at my phone, my clock. 3 o'clock. 3:00. 3 o'clock on the dot. Right? Yeah, wonderful. Okay. So if we can receive those little treasures and cherish that and say, God works all of these things out, and we have these little examples. So she says, oh, life so dull and monotonous, how many treasures you contain. When I look at everything with the eyes of faith, no 2 hours are alike, and the dullness and monotony disappear. Isn't that beautiful? And if we really push on that, if we wanted to prove that statement, I think we could do it. Even though I may go through the same routine every morning, no 2 mornings are alike. Everyone has a little bit of difference. I had a little bit of different experience in my sleep. I wake up more or less tired or awake or excited or fearful or anxious or whatever. I get up and something interrupts me. Something else happens. I run into a different person. I hear it. Anyway, every morning, every day, every experience, even though we're following similar patterns, every mass, right? Every mass consists of the same words and gestures, and yet no 2 masses are alike. And the homily is not the only difference. No 2 masses are alike. And in these ways, we have this kind of, if we start to look at it in terms of variety, if we start to see it with eyes of faith, we can see that the dullness and monotony disappear. The grace, she goes on to say, the grace which is given me in this hour will not be repeated in the next. Every hour, every moment has a unique grace. There's a way that I can be with Jesus right now that I can't be with him tomorrow or in an hour or later this afternoon. This moment has a precious opportunity for encounter. It may be given me again, that grace. It may be given me again, but it will not be the same grace. Time goes on, never to return again. Whatever is enclosed in it will never change. It seals with a seal for eternity. And so she gives us, not to make us anxious about all the things that we've missed. God forbid, don't take it in that direction. But rather to be excited about all of the things at every moment that we can grab up. I remember being fascinated, I don't even know if they do these things anymore, but by the idea of a shopping spree. Isn't that a fascinating idea? You get 2 minutes to grab anything in the store that you can get your hands on. It's like a fascinating idea. But that's what all of life is like with God's grace. You get this minute to grab up all that you can of God's presence and his love and his mercy and the words, you know. This is our chance. And so, again, not with a fearful, a fretful anxiety about all the things we're not going to get, but rather with a positive attitude of all of the things that we are going to be able to grab after, take hold of in this moment. This day is unique, and God gives himself to us in a unique way in this moment, in this day. And that can really transform our outlook on life, away from the dull monotony, away from looking at the things that are similar, and starting to take hold of and identify and take to heart the ways that there are little treasures spread all throughout all of the moments of our lives. What a gift St. Faustina is for us. What a gift the diary is for us. I hope if you weren't already a great lover of the diary, and I know so many people who are, I hope that I've given you a little courage to, or a little encouragement to take hold of the beautiful revelations of Jesus to St. Faustina, her reflections on the life of grace, and especially in this year of mercy, to reflect on the mercy of God and the way that that mercy, the way that there's so much more mercy than we're taking hold of to begin with, and allow that mercy to fill us up to overflowing, and that will be the thrust of the new evangelization, sharing that mercy with everyone else, sharing the gospel of mercy with everyone else. So let us just take a moment to thank God and to pray. God, loving Father, we praise you and thank you for your mercy, the way that you have revealed that mercy incarnate for us in Jesus Christ, the way that you continue to fill us with mercy in the Holy Spirit, and the ways that you have helped us to reflect on that mercy through St. Faustina. Thank you for the ways that you have touched the hearts of all of those here with you on this retreat. Seal in their hearts all that they have received, knowingly and unknowingly, that they can also generously pour that out on those they go home to. Help them to take in, during these last hours, all of the little treasures that you still want to give them, and to grab those up and store those in their hearts. And through the intercession of Our Lady and Saint Joseph and Saint Faustina, may Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.